there. I want to ask you a question. Which world do you want to see? This world? Or that world? Did you know that in sub-Saharan Africa, more than 40% of the population are still living on less than $1.90 a day? People, especially women and children, are struggling, living in extreme poverty, are hungry and have no education. So, how do we create a better world for me and all the future generations?
Action is needed today. We must change the poverty mindset and give people their dignity and hope back. The need is overwhelming, but that is why the One Life is so important. Life Child is one of the social justice expressions of Life Church, and it exists to reach orphan and vulnerable children and restore communities for generational change, one life at a time. There is a strong emphasis on working with children, families, and communities in South Africa, Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. Transformational change is brought through Christ-centered holistic ministry. Operating through schools, residential villages, early childhood development centers, foster homes, and a medical clinic, Life Child continues to grow and has many plans for the future. We continue to add more classrooms, schools, and foster homes as the need arises, because we want to make space for more children to be impacted, reached, and restored. Beyond that, Life Child Gives Back was established as a vehicle for Life Church and Life Child to give back to the community in specific ways that can meet emergency needs and open up new fields for the future. For example, providing support to the internally displaced people of the war in Kapitagalda in northern Mozambique. The cycle of poverty can be broken through the discipleship process of a child. We also focus on the educational, health, nutritional, spiritual, and other social needs. We believe in the importance of strengthening families and helping them to become economically stable so that they can keep their families together. At the same time, Life Child is working on becoming more sustainable. We have launched Life Sustainability and started with two ventures, a moringa farm and a sewing cooperative.
I need you to get involved and partner with Life Child so that the next generation can benefit from a healthier community and world. Together, we can break the cycle of poverty, one life at a time.
Don't you love those beautiful little faces? I want us just to commit to prayer. Would you stand with me? And we want to be open to what God wants to say to us today, because we want to be a people who hear what he says, but also be a people who do what he's called us to do. And so the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit will say. And there's nothing wrong with the Word of God today. There is no side effect, ill effect. There is no weakness in the Word. The Word is pure. The Word is able to do whatever it's meant to be doing. God watches over his Word, waiting to bring it to pass. But it's always about the soil who receives the Word. The kind of level of soil that we need to be, and what God wants us to be, will determine the fruitfulness of our lives. So let's avail ourselves to his Word today. Say, Lord, I want us to be open today. Lord, we open our hearts. We avail ourselves. We ask that the Word, the seed of your Word, will be embedded in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, and transform us and change us, because one word from you can change the trajectory of our lives. Lord, we need you. We want to hear from you. We want to say, speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to be saying more about the children towards the end, but I want to speak into this theme today. And I love the April theme for Cathedral this month, Hear Our Prayer theme. It's a great theme. Help us to care about people. Nothing wrong with that. Help us to hear the cries. Nothing wrong with that. Help us to see the hurts. Nothing wrong with that? Somebody once said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. So this is a caring church, a loving church, a reaching out church, a church that exists for the benefit of its non-members. That's what the church is meant to be. It's a church in the city, in the community, for the people and the nations. And Jesus is saying, and I want to just mention something very briefly. A few months ago, I was asleep about 2 a.m. I had a dream, a very vivid dream, and I saw Jesus reaching out, and he was reaching into humanity, and he was reaching out, and he was taking hands, and he was saying, take my hand, take my hand, take my hand. And I woke up vividly with that incredible picture in my mind, and I made some notes, and I wrote it down, and I felt God was saying to me, that's the church in community. That's the heart of the Father in society. And so I want to speak on that this morning, and I want to take it a bit further. Because in Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus speaks about giving to the needy. From verses 1 to 4, he speaks about the role of the church, the role of the believers, the followers of Christ, who give to the needy. And then he goes on to how to pray. In verse 5, the very next verse, he says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. In other words, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things in the kingdom. And he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So he's saying, you know what? You need to determine how you're going to do things, and you need to do it the right way. So Jesus then goes on and teaches them how to pray. And he says in verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you want a kingdom of God encounter in your life? How many of you want the kingdom of heaven in your family, in your world, in your business? Well, God's kingdom, because without God, we are nothing. You see, when we understand the will of God, we'll understand everything that heaven is. And so God says, don't be like some people, but let's be like what heaven is like. Let's recalibrate our thinking, our actions according to what Jesus intends for our world. So that's what I want to attempt to do for a few minutes, is I want us to show you what God says about widows and orphans, what God says about the underprivileged, the marginalized. And James, the brother of Jesus, carries on with the exact same theme in James 1. He says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word, because a lot of Christians who know the word, but you'll see there's something missing. Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Come, everybody say, do what it says. Come on, let's give it a bit of a Jamaican. Everybody say, do it, man.
Do it, man.
There we go, I'm in the right place. It says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that God that gives freedom and continues in it. Watch this. Not just looks into it, but continues in it. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. Everybody say, do it, man.
Do it, man.
But doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Not in what they know or what they think about, but in what they do. And then verse 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans. Because remember, he said he doesn't want us to be like those hypocrites. We don't want to be like those religious Pharisees or Sadducees. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So being religious, if you really want to be religious, talking about the kingdom is not enough. It requires action and it requires change. Looking after orphans and widows is not just a New Testament idea, as we'll see in a minute. In the Old Testament, the covenant community of Israel is charged with the care of the poor and the helpless, the oppressed, the disenfranchised. And when the members of this covenant community, because God made a covenant with Israel, when they do not fulfill their obligation, the Lord hears the cry of the oppressed and records and responds by sending his prophets to call the people to repentance. So when they fail to take care of the widows and the orphans, the oppressed, the vulnerable, God sent a prophet to call them to repentance. And as far back as Exodus, we see God writing preferential treatment and listen to this, and protection into the law for certain people in need, especially the widow and the orphan. And God states that he will hear the cry of the afflicted widows and orphans, and then, I mean, I don't know, this is in the Bible. He will kill the afflictors with a sword. Did God really say that? That's radical. Come on, tell the person next to you, that's radical. Well, let's read it in Exodus chapter 22. I'm glad we live in the new covenant, but remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There's a continuation. He says, do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused. I will kill you with a sword. Your wives will become widows and your children fatherless. Now let's quickly move on from that verse of scripture. And the image of the widow and fatherless, and what the part I want to focus on, is God is very serious about widows and orphans. God is very concerned about those that have no father, those that are marginalized, those that are being abused and oppressed and intra-trafficked and brought into vulnerable conditions and circumstances. And as part of the covenant, the Lord commanded the Israelites in no uncertain terms to care for the helpless and vulnerable among them. And throughout the Old Testament, you see the same theme and emphasis over and over and over again. In fact, in Psalm 68 verse 5, it says this about our Heavenly Father. He's a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. I've been married this year 40 years, and I've got the most beautiful, exhausted, fantastic wife. They say behind every successful man is an exhausted wife and a surprised mother-in-law, all right? So, but I've got the most amazing wife. But on our honeymoon, we were on honeymoon, and we met this guy who was looking after orphans and vulnerable children. And we made a decision there and then that we were going to get involved. And we took care of a child for nearly a year in our first year of marriage. And that set the tone for us over the years. We began to look after and foster kids and then eventually developed Life Child. And today we have hundreds of children in care. And of course, even my own daughter, my oldest daughter, they adopted a beautiful little boy when he was 1 year old. His name is Nathan. He's now 4 years old. And when I Zoom him on the phone, we talk every day. Every day we talk to each other. And he goes, Grandpa, I miss you, Grandpa. Why are you there? And then he says, Grandpa, the most beautiful words. He said, I love you, Grandpa. Oh, I tell you what, the best thing I could ever hear. Now, this child who didn't have a home was placed in a home because that's the heart of God, the heart of our fathers. And we will help these children. He sets the lonely in families. That's our God. Isaiah 1 verse 17 says, learn to do right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Malachi 3:5 says, then I will draw near to you for judgment. I'll be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And what you have to understand here today is that this is really about who God is. He's a God who's just and he's righteous, and these are his attributes. You see, justice and righteousness are attributes of God. If people want to say, what is God like? Well, he's just, he's righteous, he's holy, he's caring, he's loving. We know that, but these two specific attributes God wants us to understand today, because the scriptures teach that the origins of these ideals are described as the foundations of creation. The Psalms describe justice and judgment as the attributes of God, attributes that prescribe the values of his creation and his children. So when we want to know what God is like, we know that he's just and we know that he's righteous, but then at the same time, he wants us to be just because we are his creation. And he wants us to be righteous. That's why the Bible says, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of Christ through him. So we are his creation, we are fallen people, but he redeems us and we are now righteous in Christ because it's the character and the nature of God. Psalm 68 describes God as a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. I love what Psalm 89 says, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. Come on, let's say everything is yours. Come on, we're speaking to God now. Everything is yours. Now, you know, it's not everything with you at the moment, right? Because they say your wallet is the last thing to be born again. But everything belongs to the Lord. Everything we have belongs to him. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it. You have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hamon, joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. I mean, I get so excited as I read that. But the truth is, because we are his creation and we reflect a reflection on what heaven is like, and we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. But how does God stretch out his hand? Through you and I. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So if we say you're a mighty arm, then our arm needs to be mighty. If we say you are strong as your hand, then our hand needs to be strong for him. High as your right, then it needs to be high. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love, faithfulness go before you. Happy, can everybody say happy?
Happy.
Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Oh, that's so powerful stuff. The image of the Lord's children walking in his light suggests that they should adopt these divine attributes of justice and judgment. Throughout the Psalms, God promises to deliver the oppressed. See, God wants to work righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He wants to get in there and sort it out. How does he do it? Through you and I. It is God who executes justice, Psalm 146, for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. How does God give food to the hungry? Through you and I. Tell the person next to you is talking to you. This is your opportunity to preach to the person next to you. And you can turn your head. That's all right. Turn your head. Say he's talking to you. Don't be scared of your mother-in-law next to you. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Now the reality is, God will do all that through you and I. Ezekiel 16 says, behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. So we know about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We know that Sodom and Gomorrah was a real mess. And we know what happened there. But I bet you don't know this part of it. Listen to what it says here. Behold, this was the iniquity. This was the problem of your sister Sodom. Pride. Listen, California. California, listen to me. Pride, over an abundance of food, prosperous ease, and idleness were hers and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. That's what I love about Cathedral of Faith. Right outside, they are feeding thousands of people every year. And then right now with us in Mozambique, right in the Philippines, making a difference all over this community because of the generosity of this people. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And God says, that's my problem. Isaiah taught the Israelites that it was through these characteristics of compassion and mercy that they would recognize the Messiah. And so now as we get to the New Testament, we see that in Isaiah 61, there's a very, very powerful portion of scripture that plays into the first part of Jesus' ministry. And it says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord is on me. When the Spirit of God is upon you, what's going to happen to your life and to your world? Because the Lord has anointed me. Why has God anointed you? Why is God calling you? Why is God sending you? Why is God giving you something to hear? Why is he telling you things? Well, it says this, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. What a great agenda from God. And then Jesus comes out of the wilderness, being tested in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. He comes out and then Jesus reads Isaiah's words he picks up the scroll, it was handed to him, and he opens it up and he reads from this exact portion of scripture, and they all gathered in that synagogue in Nazareth, and then he proclaims and he says these very, very powerful words. He says, this day, come, somebody say this day. He says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, when you read the words of Isaiah the prophet, do you say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And that's what we've got to be saying. We've got to say, God, today I hear you. Today I'm going to walk this. Today I'm going to talk this. Today I'm going to live this. Today I'm going to express this, because you're a God of justice and a God of righteousness. You're a holy God. But God, I'm going to learn to walk in this today. And when you read the words of Isaiah the prophet, do you say that, this day? You see, Jesus would demonstrate during his ministry and his death and his resurrection the very fulfillment of this passage of scripture in Isaiah. Jesus preached to the meek that all would be saved through faith in his name. He bound up the brokenhearted and healed the blind, the lame, and those overwhelmed by evil spirits, and those overcome by grief due to the death of a loved one. He proclaimed liberty to the captives by freeing the burden from their sins and opening the spirit person of those bound by lack of knowledge. He walked among the people of Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, all the while preaching out to the poor and the needy, caring for the widows and the orphans, and blessing the strangers. In every deed, Jesus of Nazareth was a living embodiment of the compassion and mercy taught by the law of Moses. Jesus didn't abolish the law, he fulfilled the law. He showed exactly that God is consistent. He's the same. Well, the God of yesterday is the God of today and the God of tomorrow. Jesus walked that, he incarnated that, and showed them what heaven is like. When we take the hands of orphans and widows, it is a powerful moment. I was moved when I read this, and it reflects our world today. And Job, he sends us a warning. He says, listen carefully. Is not your wickedness great? There is no end to your iniquities, for you have exacted pledges from your family for no reason and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have given no water to the weary to drink. You have withheld bread from the hungry. The powerful possess the land and the favored live in it. You have sent widows away empty-handed. And this just blew me away. The arms of the orphans you have crushed. And Job says, how bad has the nation become? I want to read a story, a true story that we are busy dealing with right now. It's a story about Wilson, an albino boy in Mozambique. Wilson is a young 14-year-old boy from the Ili district in Zambezia. Zambezia is a province of Mozambique. He was born an albino, and unfortunately this has severely marked his life. People with albinism in Mozambique are often victims of persecution, violence, and discrimination due to myths and superstitions, which includes the use of organs or bones in witchcraft rituals, making them amongst the main targets of human rights violations, human trafficking. According to authorities, the crime that occurred with Wilson may be related to these superstitious practices, and in most cases, criminals receive orders from other people who tend to sell human organs. So they order the part that they need while the child is still alive. The crime occurred in November the 18th, just a few months ago, in the district of Ili. Four men took Wilson, who was sleeping on his balcony, to a forest. And while he was awake, with nothing to numb, no anesthetic, nothing, they amputated his right arm. They sawed his right arm. They also tried to amputate his left arm. And he was screaming, but they fled when they became aware of the arrival of the teenager's relatives. According to the police, there are no arrests yet, but it is suspected that one of the teenager's uncles is involved in the case. Wilson was transferred from hospital to hospital until he finally arrived in the central hospital in Kilimani. That's where Life Child is based, where he underwent surgeries. This is where our Life Child community health workers connected with Wilson. Life Child began an urgent intervention of health and nutritional support and prayer, as Wilson had lost so much blood and was largely on his own with his aunt, and there was no support system around them. Dersha, one of our pastors in Mozambique, who is Life Child's trauma counselor, continues to walk closely with Wilson and his aunt. Today, Life Child is working with social welfare in our desired placement of Wilson into the Akalawa Children's Village. The Akalawa Children's Village is the village that Cathedral in the last 20 years have helped us to build and are still building. Give yourself a round of applause. And so Life Child is in conversations for a future prosthetic arm, which will also make a huge difference in his future. Would you please keep Wilson in your prayers, because he's not a commodity to be used to prosper, but a child who deserves to be happy, safe, and able to live a life that God has planned for him. Psalm 82 says, give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. You see, the devil wants to take them by the hand, but God wants you and I to reach out and take them for his kingdom. Cathedral of Faith has done exactly that for 2 decades. Every time someone from Cathedral has sponsored a child, they've rescued and delivered a child from the hand of the wicked. You, Cathedral, have made the word to be true. You just haven't heard about what's happening. You've done something about what is happening. You're a person who believes the word of God, but then loves the word of God. Psalm 10 verse 14 says, but do you see? Indeed, you know trouble and grief, that you may take it into your hands. In other words, you can do something about it. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. And I applaud you today, Cathedral of Faith. I applaud you. We've seen many, many children. Hands have been taken. You see, the truth is today there's a cry. There's a cry that we need to hear. Psalm 72 says, for he will rescue the needy when he cries for help, and the afflicted and abused also, and him who has no helper. So when they cry, how will Jesus help them? Through you and I. This is the heart of God. So when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done, we are saying, God, I want to be like you. I want to do what you do. The truth is, and you can't get away from this truth today, when we hear God hears us. And you say, Anthony, is that really true? Well, Proverbs includes this in the sobering proverb. He says, Proverbs 21, he says, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and not be heard. In every deed, Jesus of Nazareth was the embodiment of compassion and mercy. And we are his covenant people, are called to be like him. At the end of his ministry, Jesus invited all of his all of us to imitate his compassion and mercy. He wanted to he taught on this on a regular basis. He demonstrated to them. He showed them how to live. But then at the end, he really brought it home in Matthew 25, and he said these very powerful words, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous, the covenant people of God, you and I, will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in and needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or as an orphan running around or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. How many of you want to live for the king? How many of you want to live for the king? If you want to live for the king, you need to do what he does. What's who he is and what's his characteristics, his quality characteristics. He's a righteous God, he's a justice God. And as we conclude this morning, the truth is without Christ, we have an orphan spirit. Do you know, without Jesus, we are actually spiritual orphans. Even human, every person, you might not be a natural biological orphan, but you are definitely a spiritual orphan without Christ. And the Bible says that we are dead to Christ, we are dead spiritually and far removed from the Heavenly Father, but in Christ, we are not left alone. And you're not left as an orphan. You see, when Jesus comes to rescue and save you, when he comes into your life, this is what he says in John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This was before Pentecost. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, yet and in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And let's be like Jesus and not like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, because they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Let's take the hand of an orphan today. God has a promise for you today. Isaiah 58 verse 10 says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. Nothing's gonna lift your heart as much as being the hands and feet of Jesus. Acts 20 says, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. I himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as we conclude, when Jesus hung on that cross, we've just come out of Easter. Just a few weeks ago, we had Easter. Jesus hung on the cross, and as he hangs on the cross, he looks down, and the Bible says in John 19, when near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother, who was a widow there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, take my mother's hand. Here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus was demonstrating something. From that time and from this time on, year to day, can we take the hand of a widow, an orphan, a vulnerable child, and bring them into our Heavenly Father's home? Let's pray together. Oh God, God, help us to see what you see. Lord, the word tells us that you looked over Jerusalem and you said, oh, Jerusalem, how a mother hen would want to gather her chicks under her wing, but you wouldn't have me. And you wept over Jerusalem. You looked at the lost and you wept. You looked at the poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, and you wept. God, help us to see and to hear what you hear. Help us to hear your voice today. You said, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. Lord, we want to follow you and be like you and do what you do. And God, we want to reflect what heaven is like. We do pray, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then, Lord, help us to send, to go and take the hand of a widow and an orphan in Jesus' name. Let's watch this video as we conclude.
A Vila de Crianças Ocalau é uma comunidade dentro da comunidade onde crianças órfãs e vulneráveis são acolhidas em novas famílias onde recebem cuidados a longo prazo em todos os aspectos da sua vida. A vila nasceu da enorme necessidade de cuidados e educação mais permanentes para as crianças da província da Zambézia, que são significativamente afetadas pelas elevadas taxas de mortalidade relacionadas com vírus e doenças como HIV-Sida e malária, que provocam um aumento no tráfico de crianças vulneráveis. Na Vila Ocalau, atualmente vivem um total de 11 pessoas, sendo duas famílias compostas por duas mães e 9 crianças. Esperança, a filha mais velha da mãe Sônia, nos conta a sua história.
Eu sou a Esperança, tenho 16 anos e estou aqui na Vila Ocalau desde 8 anos. Eu vim aqui quando perdi o meu pai, quando eu era criança, quando teve 7 anos de idade. E vim cá na Vila Ocalau quando teve 8 anos, quando a minha mãe estava grávida do meu irmão mais novo, que chama-se Joshua. E ele agora tem 8 anos. E agora eu estou a fazer 12ª classe. O que eu gostaria de ser no futuro é de ser professora.
A minha filha me ajuda a fazer trabalho de casa, ajuda os irmãos a fazer TPC. Ela é uma bênção que Deus me deu e eu agradeço por muito, porque realmente eu estava desesperada quando perdi meu esposo. E dou graças a Deus, porque Deus é quem está cuidando a eles. Não é pela minha força, mas pela força de Deus. A minha grande alegria é que ela vai fazer faculdade próximo ano e é de louvar.
Eu estou crescendo espiritualmente, sou líder do Ministério Infantil, estou a liderar uma célula e gosto muito de ensinar as crianças e também a outras pessoas que não conhecem Jesus, que eles possam conhecer a Jesus e entregar o seu coração a Jesus, porque se você receber a Jesus como seu Senhor e Salvador, Ele vai fazer grandes coisas, Ele vai mudar a tua história, como Ele fez comigo, Ele mudou a minha história.
Patrocine uma criança hoje e informe-se sobre todas as outras formas de parceria. Visite agora o nosso website www.lifechild.org.za e clique na seção Sponsor a Child ou Patrocine uma criança. Juntos, podemos fazer a diferença na vida de cada uma das crianças, uma vida de cada vez.
We are His hand extended. We are His hand extended. Jesus is reaching to the orphans, to the widows, and He reaches through us. Some of you have already sponsored kids for years. This is the result of your sponsorship. And I want to invite you in the next moment to extend your hand. If you'd be interested in supporting one of the children that we're sponsoring, if you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you one of these cards. For just a little bit of money every month, you can actually turn a kid's life around. So I encourage you to raise your hand so the ushers can get them to you. This is a moment where you can join with members of our church family. Pastor Ken and Kurt have both sponsored 2 kids for 20 some years. And this is a moment when you can be part of seeing a life change. Some of the early kids that were supported through Life Child are now doctors and lawyers and pastors and teachers and leaders. Thanks to the generosity of this church, and you get to be God's hand extended in this moment as well. There are several things I encourage you to do after service. If you took one of these cards or you didn't get one and you would like to be part of supporting, there are kiosks in the foyer where you can go and get more information. Also, some of the widows have made all kinds of great things, from socks to clothing to runners to napkins, you name it, they're all out there. I encourage you to stop by the booth and see how you can support these widows in their journey. And then also, Pastor Anthony will be in the chapel in just a few moments. Wait, stay here for a second. In the chapel for just a few moments, there's an immersive experience to help you learn more about Life Child and be part of that moment. Again, you get to be God's hand extended. Amen? I'm going to encourage you to stand with me, and I want us to pray for Pastor Anthony as he's the voice for all of these widows and orphans, and that God would give him favor and strength and watch over him as he's away from his wife and kids and grandson. And let's reach our hands toward Pastor Anthony and pray for him right now. Lord Jesus, we pray this prayer. Help us hear the cries that no one else is hearing. Thank you for sending your voice to us through Pastor Anthony, that we could hear the cries of those in need. Lord, we've sung that song so many times, break our heart with what breaks yours. And thank you for this moment we have to partner with you, to partner with Pastor Anthony, to partner with Life Child and see lives changed forever. I pray blessing and favor upon him in the next days as he travels to churches, as he goes and ministers to people, that many people would hear these cries and that a generation would be changed because of people's ability to raise their hand, to reach out their hand and touch those in need. Bless him, bless his family, bring health and healing and wholeness. And Lord, let this time that he's away be a fruitful time in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thanks, Pastor Anthony, for being here. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.